Can we start the recording, please?
This meeting is being recorded.
Okay, perfect. First, just want to say I'm going to call this meeting to order. Good evening, and thanks for joining us for the February General Board meeting of Queens Community Board 11. My name is Michael Budivin, and I am the chair of the board. As always, I'm joined by first chair Victor Dejus, second chair Christine Hader, second vice chair Christine Hader, and third vice chair Henry Euler. And of course, by our district office staff, Joe Marzoliano, Christina Catino, and Jane Bentivenga. So as we have been, we're meeting on Zoom tonight. If you're not already, please do put yourself on mute when you're not speaking. It's a little easier to interrupt each other when we're at these Zoom meetings. So it's helpful if you can do that. And it also keeps us from hearing people's background noise. Joe is the host of the meeting. He'll have the ability to mute people, and we will be unmuting people when it's their turn to speak, including when we're taking roll and taking any board votes. And again, once you've been called on and responded, please do mute your line once again. And if we do run into any unexpected technical difficulties, please bear with us. Okay, with that said, we're gonna get started tonight with our virtual Pledge of Allegiance. And as we've been doing, Joe is gonna share the picture of an American flag on our screen so we can all see it. And you are welcome to stand up where you are and join along with us as we say the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation under God, liberty and justice for all. Okay, thank you. So we're going to move on then to public participation. And as we often do, we're planning to start off tonight with the 111th, and I see we are joined by Captain Port Aladdin. Captain Port Aladdin, the floor is yours. Welcome.
Good evening, everybody. Good to see everyone. Hope everybody has a safe winter. All right. I know we had a big couple of snowstorms in the last couple of weeks. I have a lot of good news and a little bit of bad news and a lot of stuff I've been repeating for the last 2 years. So the good news is that overall, we're doing a great job in crime-wise. My guys are out there with handling everything that comes across the radio, anything that you guys called with the precinct with, we're out there. We got a couple of transfers from other commands that came to this command, so it has helped our numbers be able to put more cars out on the streets, which is a good thing. In regards to crime, though, if you look at the paper, the numbers are a little deceiving. Right now, year-to-date, we took 90 index crimes compared to last year at this time, 55. That's a big increase. That's an increase of almost 63%, and it's only 2 months into the new year. What I want you to realize is that the big increase is grand larcenies, and it has been a big, big Social Security scam that a lot of elderlies are being scammed with. That is what's driving our crime up right now. We're at 46. If we take away those scams, the grand larcenies in general, we're down to 20. So we took 26 scams. So those are the Social Security cards. Those are the cards you get from the government with the prepaid money on it. A lot of guys have been falling victim to that. What they're doing is they're going to the ATMs. So when you strike this car down, they have something called a skimmer. Now these skimmers are very easy to see. If you feel like when you strike the car at the ATM and the ATM moves, it shouldn't move, it's solid. It should be completely, like you can't, even if you touch it, it doesn't go anywhere. But if it jiggles just a little bit, something's wrong. So they usually put this type of device, which is called a skimmer, in the ATM machine where it records your credit card number. And then when you put the pin in the machine, it records that as well. And it gets sent to a different location. Basically, we have the computer crime unit handling those type of grand larcenies. And they're trying to find the IP addresses, locate these individuals. A lot of them are not even in Queens. A lot of them are out of state. So there's a lot of work they're doing involved to get these individuals off the streets and stop the hacking. But please, before you ever put your credit card into the ATM machine, I want you to grab the ATM machine. If you physically can move that device where you put the credit card in and it jiggles a little bit, something's wrong, go get a manager. Do not put your card in there. That is the only way you can detect it. It's very hard to see. It's like an electronic metal strip that they put inside this where the card goes. So as soon as you scan the card in, that number goes to a different address. A different address, which is usually nowhere in Queens. That is not just the 111 precinct, the whole borough of Queens, Queens North and Queens South, was destroyed by this. Unfortunately, the 109, the 110 were the two biggest victims in regards to it. Just to give you a perspective, we average about somewhere between 10 and 15 grand larcenies a week. When this first happened, the 110 took almost 300 grand losses in a week. That is unheard of. So this is something that is hard to detect with your eyes, but if you touch the machine, you'll be able to tell that that machine was tampered with. So it doesn't matter if you go to TD Bank. It doesn't matter if you go to Citibank. It doesn't matter, Chase, whatever bank you go to, you have to touch the ATM. They're going to any bank and to try and old banks to put these devices in there. You just have to be understanding that it's there. You have to be cautious, look at it, and make sure before you put your credit card in there to make sure that that machine has not been tampered with. Again, if it is tampered, you get a bank manager, you call 911, we'll come, we'll take the device, we send it to our evidence collection team to fingerprint it to see if you get any fingerprints of it, and then it goes to the computer crime unit to see if they could locate retrace the IP address to where the numbers are going to. So this is a big, big issue going on right now. And just again, 911 all over Queens. So please tell your family members, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, just be careful when you put a credit card into the ATM machine. Going back to me repeating myself, burglaries. Since I've been your commanding officer, this has always been an issue. We had some more guys out on the street, so that's helping us. The burglaries are down year to date, which is good. But a lot of reports, they're making it too easy for these individuals, these perpetrators. The door is still left open. The windows are still left open. The guys are going in there. And these guys are professional. If the door is open, they're in your house, in and out, 20 minutes. No, I'm sorry, less than 5 minutes. That's how fast these guys are doing it. So I beg you, don't make it easy for them. Just lock your doors, lock your windows, do a check every night before you go to bed, and just make sure everything's closed. I feel so bad reading these 61s. You guys are hardworking people. You guys go out to your 9-to-5 jobs, and you come home, and your house is burglarized. It's because, I know you have a lot on your plate. Everybody's stressed out, COVID, the winter season, but you got to make sure you lock your doors. Still, to this day, we are getting complaints for burglary because the windows are left open, the back door's left open. I even have some front doors left open. I know you guys are rushing, but you got to be constant to lock your belongings. With that going on, other than those two major things going on, everything else is looking pretty good. We do have a spike in robberies that I have to let you guys be aware of. Now, it hasn't been targeted to the elderly, and it hasn't really been people that live in the community. What is going on is we have kids, anywhere from 18 to 24 years old. They want to sell a PlayStation 4. They go on these websites, eBay or Craigslist, and they put it up, I had a PlayStation 4 for sale. Okay, no problem. Somebody responds back, yo, I want to buy your PlayStation 4 for $200. Okay, let's meet at a neutral site. A lot of these individuals that you're going to meet are not trustworthy. Unfortunately, we just made an arrest on this, which is good. But there have been 2 to 3 male blacks going to meet the people that are selling the property, whether it's a PlayStation or whatever it might be, the case might be, and they're coming out with guns and they're robbing them. We had taken 3 in the last 28 days, 3 in the last month in regards to that. Unfortunately, knock on wood, we caught the perps on the last one. We took a robbery in the 111, they went to the 109. It was a joint effort between the 109 precinct and the 111. The 109 precinct took their arrest and they made the thing. I have no problems with people trying to sell old merchandise like Nintendos, PlayStation, stuff like that. I'm telling you now, come to the precinct. Come to the precinct and sell it here. Tell them, give them the address, meet me at 4506 215th Street and stand right here in front of the precinct, let them come. Because I guarantee you, they will not rob you in front of the precinct. If you think you're going to a neutral site like a public library or a bank where you think there's gonna be a lot of cameras and stuff like that, we have videoed it. It takes less than a minute. They go, oh yeah, that's the PlayStation. Let me see. Oh yeah, boom. Pull out the gun. They grab the bag. They're running right back into the car. Less than a minute, they're getting robbed. So even if you think it's going to be an area where a lot of people are at, don't even take the chance. Come to the precinct, tell them the address, and sell your property here. At least there's a cops here. If something happens, we'll be able to react right away and make sure nobody gets hurt. So I just want that bit of information out there. Again, these are the kids between 18 to 24 who are selling the property. And the kids that was actually doing the robbery were between the ages of 15 to 18. So, it's not really attacking the elderly in our community, which is a great thing, but pass it on to your kids, your nephews, just let them know, hey, if you're going to sell something online, you don't know who you're selling it to. So go to the precinct and sell it there. I have no problems with you guys hanging out here in front of the precinct, waiting to make a sell, a transaction is legal. You're selling something. There's no crime involved. I just want nobody getting hurt. So unfortunately, those three individuals were locked up last week with it. A lot of credit goes to the 109, the 111 backed on it. And actually, the Deputy Inspector O'Connell from the 109, the commanding officer there, was one of the guys that made the apprehension of one of the three perpetrators. So it was a great job. That's hopefully is going to stop. So our robbery numbers should not be coming any more robberies, but please be aware of that. Let your kids and your siblings know all about that. Right now, I'm going to open up to questions for anybody that has for me.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anybody. Thank you so much, Captain Portaladdin. We appreciate it. I appreciate your hard work and all the officers' hard work. And certainly hope that those scams and robberies and burglaries stop in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Have a safe night, everybody.
You too. Take care. Thank you. Okay. I'd like to now introduce Victoria Kowanitz from the North Hills Queens Public Library Branch. Ms. Kowanitz, you wanted to say a few words?
Hello, everyone. I just wanted to inform you of just some new things and old things that we have going on. Unfortunately, we still don't have any in-person programming at the moment. If you check the library website, they do have virtual programming like story time and toddler time for the children. Currently, we do have a flyer with tax prep information, free tax prep. You do have to meet certain criteria, but it is available. I can send these flyers to the Queens Community Board email, and then if anybody's interested, you can always send it out. Right now, February is Black History Month, so we have a health and wellness journal that you can pick up. I'm also going to send that. It goes over physical wellness, mental health, social and emotional wellness, as well as financial wellness. For students, BrainFuse is a database that we have. It gives for parents too. They have free live tutoring Monday through Friday from 2 p.m. to 11 p.m. There is no fee. You can sign up with your library card. They also have adult learning where you have the GED, well, it's now the GED prep, U.S. citizenship test, Microsoft Office help, career resources, and also help writing resumes. So this is a great resource. I know tutoring can be quite expensive, and this is all free just with your Queens Library card, no matter which branch you visit. And the last thing, we also have Hoopla, which is a free streaming service. You get 10 instant titles per month and then bonus borrows. It has everything from movies, TV shows, music, ebooks, audiobooks, and comics for the kids. And also the one last thing is we are also giving away t-shirts at the North Hills branch. They're Growing Up New York City t-shirts. If you come in and you take out 10 books, or if you sign up for a library card and take out the 5 books, you get a free t-shirt, but they're from all kid sizes. And that's it. Just wanted to share the information.
Okay. Thanks very much. I appreciate that. Thanks for coming on and letting us know. So we'll have that information at the CB office. If I can just ask, do we have any other elected officials who wanted to make announcements? I know, Seal, I think you wanted to make an announcement.
Hi, how is everyone? First, Councilmember Lee would like to wish everyone a happy Lunar New Year. And also, I don't know if you're aware that there's a program through the city for seniors or the immune compromised to get someone to come in and test. I have the number. It's 929-298-9400. It's from 9 to 7 p.m. And you could just call and make an appointment and it'll just come and test you. And another thing is the COVID test van that was at Telephone Park at 216-98 75th Avenue. We had a few constituents complain that there was double parking. So we got that moved to Alley Pond Park at 224-65 76th Avenue. And if there's, I could also send you the information if I spoke a little too fast. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Celia. Yeah, if you could send that to the office just so we have it. Sure. And if anyone has any questions, you can contact the CB office.
No worries. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Maria.
Hi, everyone. Nice to see you all. I just had a couple announcements from Grace Meng's office. First, she'd like to announce that she'll be hosting her annual nonprofit security grant program, the workshop virtually on Tuesday, February 15th from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. The workshop helps houses of worship and nonprofit organizations obtain nonprofit security grants funds, a program that provides nonprofit organizations, including houses of worship and religious facilities, that face a high risk of terrorist attack and funding for target hardening and other physical security enhancements and activities. If an organization you belong to is interested in joining, have them RSVP to us by emailing meng.rsvp@mail.house.gov no later than Sunday, February 13th, with their name and organization, House of Worship name. And the last thing is that Grace wanted to let you know that she co-sponsored the COVID-19 Price Gouging Prevention Act, a bill that would prohibit price gouging during the COVID-19 public health emergency. This bill would help protect consumers against unreasonable price hikes that are exploiting the COVID-19 pandemic. This would apply to food, water, personal protective equipment, respirators, medical supplies, cleaning supplies, sanitizers, healthcare services, delivery services, or cleaning services.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. If you need that email again, just let me know. It's meng.rsvp@mail.house.gov.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Kat, you're up next.
Good evening, everyone. Happy Black History Month. So I'm going to keep it short and sweet. We have three updates. First one is very important. A reminder to all that are on the community board that if you're up for renewal, you have until next Wednesday to submit your renewal application. Also, anyone in the community, if you're interested in joining the community board, time is now. Applications are open until February 16th, queensbp.org, and hit the community boards tab and the application should come up. That was first and foremost. Second, tomorrow at noon, we're hosting an anti-hate community crime conversation virtually. Just to discuss with the NYPD and the Office of the Prevention of Hate Crimes, something really quick during the afternoon, just RSVP at queensbp.org/RSVP. Also this month on February 23rd, which is a Wednesday at 5:30, we will be hosting our virtual Black History Month celebration. Also to RSVP to attend also virtually, queensbp.org/RSVP. I will send them to Joe and the community board office if anyone's interested, and I look forward to seeing you all. Have a safe month.
Thank you so much, Kat. Appreciate that. John, did you have something or?
Yeah, just quick. Hi, Mike. Hi, everyone. Just wanted to, I guess, first start by thanking Victor and his role with the LDC. Helped us set up with the health and hospitals, our office, the COVID test sites over in Little Neck and Douglaston, one over at the Zion Church right off of Northern, and the other one right across from the CB's office right over here on Little Neck Parkway, again, with the Little Neck Community Church. So that was great. That ended this weekend. Otherwise, we just wanted to let people know at the Homeowners Assistance Fund, HAF, that application period has been extended. It was initially supposed to end the 4th of this month, but it has been extended to the 18th. And it's worth mentioning because a lot of programs we know don't really meet all of, you know, the kind of requirements for folks in maybe this CB's district, but this is done by AMI, Area Median Income. So it's a little less stringently means tested. So if you know someone or yourself is dealing with mortgage arrears, property tax arrears, some other types of circumstances, this might be a program you want to at least apply for. Otherwise, just wanted to mention that we are seeing an uptick in some consumer affairs concerns, you know, kind of similar to what obviously the captain was speaking about. You know, also with tax time, we see some more kind of calls that are coming in talking about people trying to get their advances of their returns to them. There's 1099-Gs, the Unemployment Department of Labor Bureau, they're sending out some notices to some people. So if you get something that surprises you and you don't have a legitimate claim, please contact their office. We'll reach out to the Department of Labor, try to troubleshoot it and make sure that especially the taxation, Department of Taxation and Finance doesn't kind of have you on their naughty list more or less. So if you see that, please reach out. And otherwise, I'll just say that the Senator is continuing to participate up in Albany in budget hearings. Today, there was one on higher ed, and we will have a Know Your Rights training on February 23rd. So that's pretty much it, but definitely keep an eye on those scams. I'll even just say full disclosure, somebody I found out was trying to steal my deed on my house this month. So that's been fun to try to track down. So if anyone has any personal questions about how to navigate out of that mess, I apparently know more than I would like, but thanks again, everyone. Take care.
Sorry to hear that, John.
All good, all good. Pick up the pieces. They didn't get too far, thankfully, but it's crazy to see how often it happens.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for your time. And again, sorry to hear that. Okay. So we're now going to move on to recognize those members of the public who signed up to speak at our meeting tonight in advance.
Okay. Never mind. I turned it off.
Oh, sorry, Paul. Oh, there you go. All right. And so just as a reminder, everyone's going to have 3 minutes. Please keep your comments civil. And what I'm going to do is when there's a minute left, I'll raise my finger up just like this. So you have a 1 minute warning. Once I do give you your time, please just finish your thought and end your comments there. So thank you very much for coming. First up on our list is Laura Lee. Ms. Lee, are you here?
Hi. Yes, I'm here. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you just fine.
Yeah, my name is Laura Lee. I'm from the Korean Presbyterian Church of Bayside. And I called you about this issue 2 months ago. And I'm calling regarding the auto dealerships parking their customers' cars, which are waiting for repair on residential street. I brought this issue to your team and someone from your team replied to me, but I haven't really seen the progress. So I'm hoping to see something could be done.
Yeah, so yeah, thank you very much, Ms. Lee. We have been in touch with the precinct and I know that they are working on it. This is an issue, it's an ongoing issue in our community. We do care about this and we are trying. I'm sure that the 111th would say the same thing. It's not just one dealership. We've had issues with multiple dealerships here more than once. So while it's perfectly fine for you to raise this to us, we want you to raise these things to us. We want to be aware of what's going on. It's sort of an ongoing, I don't want to use, you know, words that are too silly, but it's like an ongoing battle in this community, that we're working on. So I know that we've been in touch with the 111th and that they have, that they have been listening and working on it. But I don't know, you know, frankly, that it's the kind of issue, that's going to very easily get significantly better overnight. But we will stay in touch with them and continue to work on it. And hopefully we do see some improvement.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. And please do keep us informed. We do want to hear from you, so thank you.
Okay, thank you, bye.
So next up on our list is Michelle Fields. Is Ms. Fields here?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, good evening, everyone. I am attorney Michelle Fields, also a resident of Bayside for the last 17 years. I'm going to be very brief. The importance of understanding the Marijuana Taxation Act, the MRTA, making it legal, the business of cannabis or marijuana in the state of New York. And then important, why I'm bringing this up is because we have 9 different licenses that a applicant can apply for to do cannabis business in the state of New York. A part of that licensing process requires the community board to either give a written recommendation or non-recommendation as a part of that licensing process. The licensing are for retail dispensaries, consumption lounges, which is very important in the 5 boroughs. You're going to see a lot of requests by applicants for community boards to make those approvals. I only have 3 minutes, so I can't go into detail, more detail in regards to those different licenses. But under the MRTA, New Yorkers are legally allowed to possess 3 ounces of marijuana, 24 grams of concentrate. New Yorkers are also allowed to home grow, meaning if you live in a private home or your co-op or your condo, you live in a condo or co-op, you're allowed to home grow unless it's stated in your lease agreement that you had to make some provisions. So I just wanted to share that with the board. I'm open. My contact information is there if you want to know more information. And I'm done. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you very much, Ms. Fields. We appreciate it. And this is something I think, you know, it's a significant change in the law here in New York. And the borough president's office and other organizations here in the city, you know, are passing information to us. And we do know that we're going to need to train up on, you know, essentially on the legislation that's here and what our role in that is and what's expected. We appreciate you bringing that to our attention. Thank you. Okay. So we're now going to move on to roll call. Followed by the acceptance of the minutes or vote on the acceptance of the minutes from our January meeting, which were circulated in advance. So please bear with us while we go through each board member's name for attendance. And then we go through for a voice vote on acceptance of the minutes. We're going to be unmuting participants for the roll call. I don't know, Joe, if you did your magic work in advance here tonight as well. You have me on the edge of my seat.
Oh, I did. That's why I've been very quiet so far. So I'm, as I've done the last couple of months, I've already taken a pre-attendance. So I'm only going to be calling out the names of board members who I don't see or haven't seen here. So if you don't hear your name, it's because I got you down. And then if you don't hear your name during roll call, then I missed you completely. So that's kind of the fail safe. So with that, I'm going to call out the names of the board members I don't have here. First on my list is Jason Chen. Jason. Okay. Next is Sharon Chin. Sharon. All right. Okay. Carmen Cayado was absent today with an excused absence. Next is Elias Filos. After that, I have Joan Garepa.
Here.
Okay. Then Bernie Haber, Bernie. Next after that is Stan Jin. Stan. Okay. Then Yosef Lee.
Joe, it's yes. Elias. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Okay, good.
Okay.
Okay, I got you. Okay, and last on my list here is Steve Pavour. Steve? Steve, are you here? I didn't see a 631 area code, so I'm assuming you're not with us tonight. Okay. All right, folks. Other than that, we do have a quorum. With those added board members, we have 35 members present.
You got me, Joe, right? Sorry.
Yes, Paul, I had you 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I cut out before, sorry.
Yeah, no worries, man.
Okay, thanks very much, Joe. Appreciate that. So now it's time to vote on the acceptance of the January meeting minutes. These, like I said, were circulated in advance. Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Okay, Stefan with the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
And I heard Jack with the second. Okay, any discussion on the motion? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to call the question. Joe, please take a roll call vote.
1 second, please. Okay. Aviles?
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Bind?
Yes.
Bravo?
Yes.
Udivin?
Yes.
Burke?
Yes.
Cerezo? Sue? You're on mute, Sue.
Yes, I'm here.
Chu?
Yes.
Dadris?
Yes.
December?
Yes.
Benedetto?
Yes.
Donahue?
Yes.
Euler?
Yes.
Verzoli?
Yes.
Filas?
Yes.
Fried?
Yes.
Gallatin?
Yes.
Garippa?
Yes.
Olia?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
G, James?
Yes.
Jethwani?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Lanzetta?
Yes.
Liotto?
Yes.
Martino?
Yes.
Mahaltzis?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yeah. Who? Yes.
You. Montgomery?
Yes.
Balzer?
Yes.
Patel?
Yes.
Dobier?
Yes.
Popa?
Yes.
Gungeon?
Yes.
Shearer?
Yes.
Shearer?
Yes.
Turner?
Yes.
And Wong?
Yes.
Is there anyone who during this vote did not hear their name and are here that's a board member? Okay. All right. Sounds good. Motion passes.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. Appreciate it, everybody. And thank you for bearing with us. We're going to move on to my announcements. So this last month, we did have Zoom committee meetings of the Public Relations Committee, of the Governmental Affairs and Legal Committee, of the Public Safety and Licensing Committee. And then we had a joint committee meeting of the Health and Education Committee. So just wanted to thank Jack, Eileen, Justin, and Al for chairing those meetings and to everyone who attended. I know the announcement was made earlier, but I'm going to say it again. Community board applications are due by February 16th. Every year, guys, we have issues with this. So I ask everyone who wants to reapply to please do so. If you're a member of the public who's interested in being on the community board, please get your applications in as well. And if you're interested in finding out more information on how to do that, you can contact our office and we can get you that information. Stefan, we can. I see your hand. You can speak during board member new business. Okay, that's coming up next. So I think you know that's pretty much it. I didn't have any big announcements, you know, from what's occurred over the last month, except to say shout out to Eileen for presenting at the Borough Board today. I thought you guys did great, and thank you for that presentation. I was really happy to see you know members of our community up there. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, board member new business. Stefan, did you want to say something?
I just wanted to ask a question. So the reapplications are only for people who applied in 2020. So people who applied in 2021, they have another year. Am I correct?
Yes, the even years.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yep, absolutely. So for BSA this month, Henry circulated the BSA report in advance. Thanks again to Henry so much for attending and also for putting that together. So if you're interested in that, you can review it in writing because we do have a few things on the agenda tonight. Did anyone else have any other board member new business they wanted to share?
Yeah, I would. It's Mary Donahue.
Go ahead, Mary.
My husband and I would like to thank the office staff of Senator John Liu and Assemblyman Ed Braunstein for their help in getting my husband to receive his booster shot at home. It took us like a month and a half of applying and applying and applying, and we had a problem, and somehow or other they worked their magic, and somebody finally did come to the house to give him his shot. So we thank you very much for that.
I'm very glad to hear that, Mary. I'm sorry that there was a delay, but I'm happy to hear that he was able to get his shot. That's great news.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm not seeing any other board member new business. So we are going to move on to our committee reports.
Mike Doug had his hand up.
Oh, did he? I'm sorry, I must have missed that. Excuse me, Doug?
It's a big hand, I apologize. I spoke to Assemblyman Braunstein and Senator Lowe's office. The new assessments for all the properties in Queens came out the last week. There's a lot of confusion as to exactly what's going on. They are attempting to put together a virtual meeting to explain to people how they can appeal the assessments and move forward. More information will be presented once I hear back from them.
That is helpful information, Doug. We appreciate that. Please, please do keep us informed on that as you get more information. Thank you. Okay, now I'm gonna look, I'm actually not seeing anybody else. Okay, so we're gonna move on to committee reports. So, you know, as we've been doing, just to keep things more efficient, we're only discussing committees to the extent that we have a board vote to occur. So therefore, I'm not gonna make a presentation on public relations, although I think we are gonna have some stuff coming up here in the short term there. But I will pass it to Justin and Eileen, because I do think we have a vote coming out of the Education and Health Committee meeting this last month. Guys?
Eileen, do you want to start or do you want me to start? Okay, so I will start. So we had a meeting about COVID in schools, and we also had Principal Martinez, who is the new Bayside High School principal, and former principal Athey, come to present. They just basically talked about Bayside High School, what they plan to do, and also introduce the new principal as well. And then we also had Cardozo High School present their new project that they're going to have, which is a mural project. They're going to have 20 murals painted around the school, including outside the school. And it's gonna be about, you know, the programs that Cardozo has and many of the like hopeful images and stuff like that. So it's trying to improve school culture and things of that nature. The program director asked for community input because Cardozo is a part of, you know, Community Board 11, and you know, they would appreciate any input from the community for that. Eileen, are you there?
Sorry, you're on mute, Eileen.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So we just discussed the latest in what's happening with COVID. Most of it you already know. The main thing is you should get tested. You can get home tests from New York City. .gov home testing, and if you wanted to test your to see if you had COVID or not. They have come out with new medications in pill form that if your doctor prescribes, you're able to get delivered to your home. All of this is stuff that you know about. Right now, the rates for hospitalization has dropped significantly. I think that's a big improvement, and I believe hopefully we're going to come out in the next few weeks. This week we're going to know about whether they want to continue with the mask mandate or not. Masks are very important. I believe they safeguard in preventing disease. I myself took care of many tuberculosis patients years ago, and I used a mask, and obviously I didn't get tuberculosis, and I always tested negative. So I believe that masks are very helpful in preventing COVID from being spread. And that's about all we discussed.
Okay, thank you so much, Eileen. And Justin, do you want to talk a little bit about the vote we took on Albert's education issue, and then maybe Albert can talk a little bit about it?
I think we're going to pass it on to Albert to talk about the bill. So Al, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much. There were two bills in the state legislature regarding moving special needs hearings from the present to the oath office. But taking a step back, as I think everybody on this board knows, I have a child with special needs. In order to get services, you have an independent education plan meeting with, in our case, the city. In my case, it's my school district. At that education meeting, if you agree, everything's fine and dandy. That happens. That does happen in some cases. It's never happened in my case. After the meeting, each side has a right to a fair and impartial hearing. Well, the present situation is they have a group of judges, and I have my notes. Each judge has an experience of between 8 to 40 years. They are not employees of the city. They are independently certified by the states. So if you don't agree, you have a right to a hearing and a, it's more like a special master. It's not, I say judge, but it's an administrative judge. New York City is now, the legislation in the state is kind of paused, and I don't want to say dying, but New York City is taking it up. They want to appoint it to the oath office. I think we've all gone to a hearing in the oath office. Well, maybe not some of the some people, but that is the one that does sanitation tickets. They do some parking tickets, and it's just a different system, and the employees are direct employees of the city. They have a contract, not a contract, a memorandum of agreement. A memorandum of agreement. I mean, it's available online between the city and the oath office. And that city, the specific department is the Department of Education. And they've been soliciting jobs. What does this mean to me as a parent? And obviously as the community board. Basically, to me, what we've prevailed numerous times at hearings. We've also had our cases settled because it's going to hearing. Switching it to the office of oath is, I don't want to say it like this, but it gives me as a parent that the city doesn't like the judge, so they're changing the judge. They're getting more favorable judges for their position, because in the long run, they don't want to, they're saying that it costs more money in the system than it is. You're also, in bottom line, going to have less experienced judges. You're going to have all new people. Some of the independent judges may move over, but from what I've heard is, and I've heard this from some of the judges, is that they're really not being offered these positions. There's nothing on the table unless Joe, I looked hard for the city bills. Joe, did you find any city bills?
No, it was all done via rule change internally.
Okay, so I would like the board to take to say that we something that we would like the system to remain in place, that it protects the parents better. Something to that effect.
Like a letter that was sent to elected officials in the city?
Yes, okay. And if there are any elected officials still on, as a parent, it gives us great concerns. And I'm a member of other parent groups. And it's autistic children's parents groups. And it gives us great concern that we're going to oath. I mean, I'm an attorney and I've appeared on oath. And my best story that I have on oath is that the judge had framed behind him, framed. You pay a cashier number 3. That was framed. So what type of hearing am I getting when the judge has framed a picture saying pay a cashier 3? So that's my oath story.
Okay. Well, understood.
If there's any questions, does anybody have any questions? Please feel free.
Well, why don't we do this? Al, do you want to make a motion and then we can get a second and then we can have a discussion on the motion to the extent there isn't?
Thank you very much. I'd like to make a motion that we send a letter to the elected officials to keep the present system for special needs children and not move it to oath.
I second that.
I second it too.
Okay, so we have a second. I'll tell you, I heard Henry first. So Henry's a second. Discussion on the motion, and I think questions for Al, who I know is knowledgeable about this process.
Oh, good, no questions.
Okay. So if I don't hear any discussion on the motion, then we can call the question, Joe.
Okay.
Sorry, can I ask a question really quickly?
Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Sophie Krzyzewski.
Sorry. Sophie, apologies. No, you can't ask a question during this phase of the meeting. This is time only for community board members.
Oh, so sorry.
No problem. But if you want to talk or have questions for the board, you can go through the office.
Sure. Can I, Joe? Am I allowed to vote on this?
Yes.
Okay.
You don't have a financial interest at play in terms of the oath office. So yes.
But I do.
Can I
got one more hearing?
Can I ask a question? Yeah.
Go ahead, Victor.
Albert, I respect you and your experience in this matter. And so I defer to you and I'm going to support your viewpoint. Let me just ask, why wouldn't I support this idea, your resolution? Just to be fair to the discussion.
Why, say that again, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't I support you, which I'm going to do, this resolution?
I don't know, why wouldn't you?
Okay, that's what I'm asking. Just to be fair to the discussion.
I mean, if you want to go in dollars.
Because to be fair to the discussion, we're just getting your proposal.
If you want to go in dollars and cents, I am confident that the oath office will rule against parents more than is currently being done. 100% confident on that.
Okay.
So that will save the city tax dollars.
So let me
ask a lot of the parents.
So you're saying that the reason that this is being proposed might be a financial one? Or political?
I don't want to say that.
Okay.
But yes.
Okay.
But it's if you don't have the means to appeal it, and a lot of parents don't make the best school choices that they can because you don't have the financial means.
Right. I'm listening. So it's the city's way, perhaps, of streamlining something politically and financially.
They have a system in place now. Why are they trying to change it?
That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm
wondering. That is like, what is it? What are they doing now? $64,000 question? I don't know what they're up to now.
Right.
Whatever that was, but.
Can I ask one question? I'm sorry. So in other words, if someone's going to appeal it, they need to get their own lawyer. Is that what it is?
They can do it yourself. You can always do it yourself. Parents can.
Okay.
But.
You can win.
You can win. There are plenty of people that have won, but there are plenty of people that, you know, that don't know the knowledge. I remember when I was very young and I represented myself in a traffic ticket in Batavia, New York. And the judge said to me, and you think about how long ago this was, that I remember, the judge said, anybody who represents themselves has a fool for a client. Which I thought was a great line. So I've remembered it 40 years later, 30 years later.
It's true.
So, and also when you're representing yourself with your kid, and this is why I don't do it. I've done criminal cases, everything. The stress level of just being in the room when it's your kid. Right. I can't imagine trying to represent my kid.
Right. You're right.
Joe, to Victor's point, we did contact the state, the folks who were repping the bill state level before it got stalled there and see if they wanted to come, and we didn't get responses. Is that right? Sorry, you're on mute, Joe.
Sorry, even I mess that up sometimes. Yeah, so we got some information back from John Liu's office, thanks to Akshar and Jang over there. And they gave us some info that that the bill wasn't moving in the state legislature because the city had essentially done this of its own volition. And so the sponsors of the bill at the state level weren't interested in coming here to talk about it because they weren't looking to move it anymore because it's already been essentially enacted just at the local level.
Yeah, Victor, okay. I also forgot to mention that de Blasio did this by executive order December 26th.
Okay.
Five days before he left office.
Fair enough. And as I said, I'm not questioning, Al, your experience or your expertise at all. I just want to be fair to the discussion so that we don't all rubber stamp something without discussing it.
Victor, you can question it. It's my job.
Okay.
That's
fine. Hey, Al. One thing is that if just while we were talking, just right there at the end, you had mentioned, I think you'd said something to the effect of that you have some open cases. If you do, then I would recommend that you abstain at this vote.
You got it.
Okay.
Okay. So the can he still make the motion, Joe?
Yeah. You can make the motion. Just abstain from voting. Yeah, sure.
That's what I thought. Okay. And so look, just to say it, just to correct what I said before, it's not that we didn't hear back, but that when we heard back, we heard that it was moved to the city level. So listen, I think what we can do, which we often do, and it doesn't change what the letter will say, but we can say that we'd like somebody to come talk to the board about it. you know, we take a position on something, we can get, you know, further information. We haven't been able to hear the other side of this directly, but that's not unusual either, that, you know, we form an opinion without being able to hear directly from the elected officials who support or propose it. So we do have a motion on the floor. Any further discussion on the motion? Michael?
Hi, Mike. What would the motion, the exact wording be? I'm following, but oath, Office of Administrative Trial and Hearings, that's a city agency, but there's a bill in the state, and it's...
Well, we're going to be, the motion that Albert made was to leave the status quo as is, with the way these cases are handled, as opposed to moving it to the oath office, and that we would send this to our elected officials here. The state bill was there was a bill at the state, and it's now the same essential practical, you know, result has been gained by using by going through city law by executive order by de Blasio, as opposed to a state bill. So the state bill essentially is no longer necessary, as I understand it, because the result has been obtained through executive order at the city level.
Okay.
Okay. And the motion itself is to oppose that rule change, correct? In a letter to our elected officials?
Correct.
Okay. All right. With that.
But is it a rule change if it was done by executive order?
My understanding is that it counts as a rule change, but we can find out the exact wording and whether it was exactly an executive order or a rule change. My understanding was that it was a rule change, but if you guys know it to be, have been an executive order, then it was an executive order. But in the end, it is essentially a rule change.
Michael?
Mohan?
But one simple, if it's a rule change and we saying we want to go back to the way it was originally was, don't we have to at least say one or two things why we want to stay the way we are, rather than the blanket statement that we oppose what you're doing?
Yeah, I think the comments in the letter would be reflected by the discussion here at the board meeting, like all of our correspondents. That's usually the way that we operate. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I think that's what I was certainly envisioning, that essentially we would be saying that, you know, that the system is in place and it seems to be working fine, and that the new system would be less independent of the city, which is one of the parties to the matter. I think that's the gist of it. Is that fair, Al? Al is nodding his head yes.
Yes, I have to unmute, it takes, yes. So that's why I was nodding my head crazy.
Wendy, we'll double and triple check whether it was exactly a rule change or an executive order before we send the letter out, okay? If it passes.
Okay, thank you.
You wanna call the question?
Yep.
Call. Okay, all right. Aviles?
Yes.
Bale?
I think I abstain on this one because I work for the Department of Education and I am a special education teacher. So I'm going to abstain.
Okay, bind.
Thanks.
Lana? Lana, bind. Lander?
Yes.
Okay. Hudeman?
Yes.
Burke?
Yes.
Cerezo?
Yes.
Chu?
I'm also a teacher, so I'm abstaining.
Okay. Dadris?
I mean, yes.
December?
Yes.
DiBenedetto?
Yes.
Donahue?
Yes.
Mueller?
Yes.
Arizoli?
Yes.
Yes.
Filas?
Yes.
Reed?
Yes.
Gallatin?
I would like to say yes, but you told me to abstain.
Garippa?
Yes.
Golia?
Yes.
Jadis?
Yes.
Bernie Haber has joined us. Bernie? Bernie, you're on mute. Bernie, you have to unmute yourself so you can vote.
Jess said yes.
I'm seeing a head nod in the affirmative. I'm going to count it as a yes, and I'll confirm with you after. James?
Yes.
Jaswani?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Lanzetta?
Yes.
Liotto?
Yes.
Martino?
Yes.
Mahaltzis?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Doug?
Yes, pending what you said you were going to find out.
Okay. Calzer?
Yes.
Patel?
Abstain.
Belbier? Wendy? Wendy?
Yes.
Popa?
Yes.
Rastogi?
Yes.
Shearer?
Yes.
Shiram?
Yes.
Turner?
Yes.
And Wong?
Yes.
Who was that just now, a second ago?
Yeah, Sam.
Oh, okay. All right, Sam. Okay, folks, the motion passes. We had 1, 2, 3, 4 abstentions, 1 present, and then the rest were yeses. So it's a majority yes on that. Okay. Motion passes.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate that, Joe. All right, so we're going to move on to our Governmental Affairs and Legal Committee matter, which the committee is chaired by Al. So we're getting a heavy dose of Al tonight, which is always fun.
Oh, thank you again. You all got the committee report, right?
Yes, and the resolution was sent out in advance.
Okay. I know Joan Grippa called me today, and Joan, I tried getting back to you. Something came up, and when I got back to you, I went to voicemail. I know you had some issue with one of the paragraphs. I think everybody knows what ADUs are. They're alternative dwelling units. We held a meeting regarding these alternative dwelling units. We had an expert, Paul Graziano. Graziano was there, and he gave an excellent presentation regarding the whole alternative dwelling units and how it applies to our local area. There are three bills pending. Basically, the alternative dwelling units allows for really taking away the single family zoning and adding a unit to your back of your house if you wanted to. There were all sorts of provisions, but the bottom line is that in the intro, it said what their goals were. I used to call it the bill jacket, but in the bill jacket, it says what their goals are of this. I don't think they accomplish it by the goals that they want. It's not going to go for lower moderate income housing in our neighborhood. You're going to rent it out at market rate in our neighborhood. Does anybody have any questions or want to hear from Paul?
If I could, I would like to update everybody, if that's all right.
Go ahead.
A lot of things have happened, if that's okay with everybody.
Mike?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Paul. And then maybe we could hear from Henry and Paul D as well. And
Okay, great. Thank you. So thanks, everybody. You know, this was, I forget, 2 weeks ago? It's like 2 weeks ago was like a year ago on this, seriously. So what's happened very briefly, I just switched from Community Board 13, where they were having a whole discussion, and Senator Comrie was actually on the call. So very, very briefly on the ADUs, because there's really two pieces to this. There's the ADUs and there's the transit-oriented development, which I presented also at the meeting several weeks ago. So on the ADUs, there's been tremendous blowback. There we go. Thanks, Joe. There's been tremendous blowback, and now it looks like some members of the Senate are trying to alter the bill, although this is not entirely clear whether it's going to really work. But in the meantime, the entire delegation, Democrats and Republicans in Nassau and Suffolk County came out against the bill. In fact, over 100 elected officials in Nassau and Suffolk County have come out against the bill. The Conference of Cities and the Association of Villages and the Association of Towns, these are three organizations that represent the entire state of New York, have unanimously come out against these bills for the ADUs, including for the governor's bill. And what folks don't know is, I think since the last time we did this, the governor inserted this bill along with the transit-oriented development bill, which I'll mention in a second. She actually inserted these into the budget. And what this means is that if they are not stripped from the budget by next week, by February 17th, they will be stuck in the budget, and then they will be voted up or down with the budget. This was done on purpose by the governor. It's really astounding. And in fact, even Senator Comrie said he couldn't believe it, but this is what's going on. So we are trying to, there's a lot of stuff going on. As I said, I've been spending 10 to 12 hours a day on this almost every day, but at the end of the day, we're trying to get it removed from the budget. And we're also trying to kill it at the legislative, but before the end of the session, which is in June. So the other thing that came up, and again, Joe put this up here, I sent this over to him. This had to do with the TODs, the transit-oriented development. Now, this has to do with another part of the bill. Just to let you know, in the budget, it's S8006/A9006. That means Senate Bill 8006, Assembly Bill 9006. This is the bill that the governor put in for the full budget. And she attached to this parts AA through EE. And AA is the ADU/eliminate single family zoning part. And EE is the transit oriented development part. Now, what Joe is showing you, and actually if you go up back to the beginning, I put in the language, you'll see in sort of smaller font, the language that she wrote in the State of the State report. Now, when you read this language, you read that she wants to foster transit-oriented development, additional multifamily construction, foster versus the ADUs where it said require, right? Require means you must do it. You must have an additional unit in your zoning. You know, one family zones must have to allow at least one additional zone. Foster and work with the provide assistance. These are all what we call incentives or persuasion. They're not mandates. Well, here's the scary part, people. In the actual legislation, it is a mandate. And the mandate is for every zone, all land within 1/2 mile from any Long Island Railroad station. So that would be in our neck of the woods, Board 7 and 11, Murray Hill Station, Broadway Station. And again, now you can go down, Joe, because you'll see, I put them there. There you go. Auburndale, Bayside, Douglaston, Little Neck, 1/2 mile. If you go down a little further, next one, there. The circles, that's a 1/2 mile radius or a mile diameter. All zoning within that area must allow, according to this bill, a minimum of 25 units per acre. Now, this is shocking, and I only found this out 3 days ago, so I have now been scrambling to fight back against this, because in Queens, it's going to affect 15 stations. It's gonna affect the 6 here, Forest Hills and Kew Gardens, and the Southeast Queens and Central Queens, Rosedale, Laurelton, St. Albans, Locust Manor, Hollis, Queens Village, and Belrose. And this is a bill that will pass for the entire state. Every Long Island Railroad station, every Amtrak station, every Metro North station must have a minimum of 25 units per acre. And for those of you who don't know what 25 units per acre are, R2, which is the vast majority of the zoning, R12 and R2, R12 is 7 units per acre. 7 single family homes per acre. R2 is 10 or 11 units per acre. So
So Paul, if I can just stop you for 1 second, just because I think just for purposes of the board members to understand, can we go quickly through the bill and just what is it factually what we're talking about here? Because my understanding,
if you want me to read the actual language, I can do that.
No, that's okay. You don't need to read the actual language, but just on a bullet point basis, we're talking about accessory dwelling units here, right?
And so we're talking about two things. We're talking about the ADUs,
right?
Which is the blanket change to state law that would force all single family zones to allow at least one additional unit, right? So that's like 80% of the land in the state, 60 to 65% of the population that live in single family, they would all municipalities would be required to allow a minimum of at least one additional unit on every property, whether it's in a garage, an attic, a basement, or building another house. And that's a minimum. It could be 2, 3, 4, et cetera. It could be, without parking, without, you know, all the stuff that we talked about. This is separate. This is transit oriented development, which I brought up to the board 2 weeks ago. Yep. I want to give a heads up that this was also being talked about. What we didn't know was that instead of it being a carrot, instead of it being an incentive, it's actually mandatory in the bill. It's 25 units per acre. It's shocking. It shocked me. And it shocked everybody else that I've mentioned it to. They couldn't believe it. So it's a double whammy. It's the ADUs on all single family zoning and 25 units minimum per acre within a 1/2 mile radius of every train station.
And so essentially, if I owned a 2-family home within 1/2 mile of the train station, I could now have up to XYZ ADUs on my property, whatever.
It could really, I mean, the devil's in the details, right? So who knows? But certainly, if you look at that map, all that yellow, not the orange, but the yellow is single family zoning. So again, single family zoning, R12 is 7 units per acre maximum. R2 is 10 or 11 units per acre maximum. So automatically, all the single family zoning goes out the window, even if the ADU bill fails. If the ADU bill fails, we still have to contend with this. It's a separate bill. It's scary. So I'm just throwing it out there.
No, that's helpful. Thank you. So just really quickly, Lander, we're going to have a discussion on this in a minute. And I got your hand. I see that there. Henry and Paul worked with Al at the committee level to get this in front of the committee. So, you know, I think it makes sense, Al, if you're okay with that, to maybe have them say a few words about their thoughts on the bill. And then we had a resolution circulated, which I assume there's going to be a motion to approve, but we can cross that bridge when we get there.
Absolutely. And Henry deserves a lot of credit for putting together the resolution. Both Henry and Paul, the Paul on our board, not the one that just spoke, worked very hard on this. And it's absolutely they should have a few minutes to talk. Yeah. Whichever one of you wants to go first, I suggest you fight for it.
Henry, you want to go first or you want to fight me?
We'll fight later. Okay. I just would like to say that these bills supersede home rule, which means we don't have any say about this. We had no input into how these bills were formulated. And that's very unfair. They should start at the grassroots level and talk to the public and to the community boards, civic associations, local elected officials. That's where it should start. If we understand that we need more affordable housing, but the way they're going about it is not really very democratic with a small D. The one point that Joan Gariffa had asked me to speak about, she called me after she couldn't reach Albert, I guess, is the 10th whereas down. The one that starts with these existing ADUs.
Joe, do you want to put the resolution up on the screen share so that people can see it in real time in case they don't have it?
Sure.
The 10th, whereas down.
Down.
Got to go down. It says these existing ADUs. There it is. Joan felt paragraph where it says also towards the end of the paragraph, it says, and also lowers the quality of life in many communities throughout New York City. She just thought it would sound, it would read better if we replace also with which would. It would make more sense and it just reads better. That would be the only correction that she would recommend. And I think it's a good idea if we want to just to try to make it more readable.
One word, it's fine.
So is okay.
That noted, Henry. And when you make the motion, you can make it with that amendment if you'd like.
Okay.
No problem, of course.
Go ahead, Paul.
Thank you, Henry. And thank you, Al, and everybody on the board. You know, very, very briefly, the city wasn't even zoned from one end to the other until 1961. They set up the zoning so we'd have 20 million people living here by the year 2000. All this stuff can be researched. It's all fact. That didn't happen. But in Bayside and in other areas of Northeast Queens and throughout the city, we realized that R2 was a problem. The zoning R2 is single family detached, okay? And builders were manipulating the law, the code, and getting away with building a whole floor or other amount of space so that we're having these oversized homes. So my point being, in 2005, we were rezoned. This community board went through it. It was a huge, huge deal. Some of you were here, some of you weren't. Those of you who were here, remember it. It was a really big deal. It was very contentious. And we worked really hard with the city, with the administration, the Bloomberg administration, to rezone Bayside, Northeast Queens, and then all of Queens, okay? So why are we changing it? It wasn't very many years ago. That's what this is. Once you do this, we lose single family housing because any home, the only way you get to keep our homes on our properties are the ratio of the size of the house to the property. And once you can build if you can add an ADU, you're increasing the square footage, our homes are done. And besides that fact, I happen to personally live within a half mile, actually it goes to Bayside High School from the Bayside train station. So for this to, our neighborhoods all of a sudden become R3 and R4 and multifamily, you know, it's ridiculous. So this goes from Buffalo to Montauk. It does the entire state. We need, whether you want this or not, we need to have local control. You can't make a blanket rule. So we should all please vote against this. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Paul. So we're going to have discussion on the motion. Eileen, I see your hand as well. Before we do that, Henry, do you want to make your motion just to make it official?
Yes.
And then we can
Before you make your motion, Henry, sorry.
Yes.
Just as a point of information, in your title, you call it NYS Governor Budget Proposing. I would ask or propose that you put in the actual bill number because now we have it, which is S8006/A9006, part AA, part EE. Okay, those are the things. So I can repeat it again.
No need, Paul. We can get it from you after the fact. If Henry wants to incorporate that, he can do so categorically, and we
can
get
these. I just want to make that clear because it makes it clearer also in your motion. I think that's all.
Right. So I would like to make a motion then for Community Board 11 to approve this resolution with the correction suggested by Paul Graziano by putting in bill number that we now know about, and also with Joan's correction with the wording on the 10th whereas.
And a second, please.
Second.
Who was the first one? Joe, did you hear who the first second was?
Paul seconded it, and then I did it second after Paul.
All right. Second and third. Okay. So I see there's discussion on the motion. The first person that I had seen was Lander. Everyone else, Ben, Jessica, Eileen, John, I see you guys. So you're noted. You're coming up next. Lander?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Mike. Thank you. Paul, thank you so much for that presentation and the team and the committee for this. A couple of questions that came to mind that I was just curious about is it obviously seems very scary for our community, and it was presented that way. And in this, what I understand, this was presented as a budgetary and then a mandatory on the ADUs and the TODs. Do we know also if there's any other counter supporting budgetary items for transportation within our community that is for the alternative transportation and or support of these bills that are also known to be tied to this budgetary item?
I am not aware. I mean, the only the bill is like 120 pages long. I highly recommend anybody who wants to read it, feel free.
Sure.
The only thing I'll say is that the parts that were put into the bill were the same things that she mentioned in the State of the State, just defined differently in some cases, or defined the way she wrote them. But so parts AA through EE are really pertaining to land use and housing. I don't think there's anything additional with transportation. If there's additional transportation stuff, it's in the rest of the bill. But I'm not a
hundred. That we don't know yet that it's tied directly to AA and EE.
Well, no. AA and EE are definitely not. Again, what they did, again, I hate to confuse this, but what they do is they dump everything. It's not that everything's tied together. They dump everything into the bill, into the budget bill, in order to just get it passed.
Yeah.
In other words, it goes as an omnibus bill. So I'm not clear. Yeah. If I don't think it's specifically tied to this. I think it's, if anything, it's tied to the budget bill separate from these issues.
So a vote in support of this resolution is not necessarily going to kill our potential transportation budgetary items for a Southwest Queens.
We want to strip these from the budget. Strip them from the budget bill.
The other question I have is, do you foresee any challenges on a I'm going to ask the question, but on a federal standard from a density city planning perspective that would make this a moot issue anyways, or is this purely in state and she has the right to force this through?
Well, actually there's a question whether she has the right to do this. This might be in violation of the state constitution, but we'd rather get this gone now so we don't have to go down that route and do it, but it has nothing to do with any federal standards. Zero.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
In tradition, the federal government doesn't get involved with local zoning matters anyway. Right. I mean, they would if it would be something based on a civil rights issue, but not just density zoning.
Housing, yeah.
That's not something the federal government.
They give incentives. They don't give mandates.
Right. Right. There's just possible challenges to the impact and density, climate, environment, all those aspects that could come into play for this. So I wanted to ask the question, but thank you.
Thank you, Lander. Thank you, Paul. G, Eileen, you're next.
Oh, I just wanted to say thank you, Paul. That was an excellent presentation. Bayside Hills Civic Association also has been abreast of this, of what's happening with this bill. We sent a letter to all our elected officials already yesterday, because this would devastate our community. I would just want to say that I hope that everyone would vote against this, because it really would, the one family houses would be really, it would be very bad for our neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you, Eileen. Ben, you're next.
Yes, thanks for the presentation. And I guess my concern here is that there really is a dire housing shortage in New York. And I know that these houses would obviously be market rate, and they're not going to solve the housing shortage on their own. But at the same time, if it's a question of supply and demand, anything that we can do to increase housing supply, theoretically at least, is going to help reduce costs over the long run. And we have to consider that as well. Just the fact that there's such a massive housing shortage in the city. That's all.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate that. John, you're next. And then I got Jessica and Karen.
Thank you. Honestly, I really don't like the ADU law, or at least, you know, our understanding of the law. I was trying to think about it, and I was thinking about, so you all know I went to high school here, and most of my high school friends can't afford to live in the area, and I was wondering if this would sort of help with that. And then I was thinking about this more, and my parents moved to the area in a townhouse, which is a lot of sort of what some of this transit stuff is talking about. And I was thinking, if we didn't have those townhouses, they probably couldn't afford to have moved here, which, I mean, I wouldn't be able to move here. And then I was thinking about this even more, and I was able to buy my single family house a while ago, and with the market rates now, I don't think I would afford it. So I'm sort of wondering if what we're voting for here would exclude me from this community. Obviously, you know, not literally, since I already did buy my house. But if I was looking now, and I was also wondering, like, how many people even on the community board have $1 million and $1.5 million to buy a house in today's climate? It might exclude a lot of us from this community. So as much as I really don't like the ADU law, and I think there are problems to it, I really don't like basement apartments. We need to do something. And this sort of seems to be the only thing on the table right now. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Jessica.
Hey, thanks. So my issue with this bill is that it doesn't really address the housing crisis per se. It more so creates another possibility for people to become landlords, which is a skill. Making sure that construction is done properly is hard. I don't know anybody that's really been able to do that right and not spent so much money. I know people that are landlords that have not been able to get their last month rent, and then the place was left a mess, so the security deposit was completely null and void. The people that seem to be supposed to be benefiting from this, from being the landowners that are older, are also the ones that would be most likely to be victimized by a lot of this. It does seem like the governor is doing something as a throwing a bone and helping out some of her real estate friends, and especially as basement apartments have been proven to be really dangerous. I can only imagine some things with with the dwelling units and issues with storms and things. And yeah, just being a landlord is a skill. I also know that a neighbor tried to purchase his sister out of her half of the family home when his parents passed away, and the bank would not give him a loan for $100,000, even though he was a business owner and in his 50s and had two children and, you know, was doing everything right. So it just seems like there's a lot of ducks that aren't in a row, and that this is just being pushed through to kind of let the governor and other politicians like wash their hands of something that is a much bigger problem that they need to go about, in a way of converting empty offices. You know, those might not be ending up with people. I'm pretty sure that it'd be better to have some people that are lower income living in these empty offices, and people would want to be able to get a job helping convert them. So, but aside from that, I definitely would not be able to live here anytime, waiting, you know, to inherit my parents' house, to be frank. So I support it in theory, but you also can't imagine that you can have people convert property and then tell them what they can charge for it, because it will be market value. And right, what I know about real estate is they'll charge as much as they can, and everybody will try to get their credit. Right. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Jessica. Karen, I'm going to call on you next, but if it's okay, I have a comment, and I'm just going to speak before you to avoid me being the person with the last word, which I try and avoid in these comments.
When you have a chance, I'd like to talk.
Gotcha, Joan. Gotcha, Joan.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Hey, Chris. Good to have you. Thank you. So just really quick to throw my two cents in here, you know, I believe that the housing crisis here in New York is really understated by a lot of us, and we don't, you know, it's just a huge, huge problem. And even with that, I still don't think this bill is a good idea. You know, I just feel like in the end, this is not going to solve the problems that we actually have. And without knowing exactly how it's going to turn out, it's going to create new ones. And if New York City or New York State's answer to a serious, serious housing crisis in what I view as the greatest city in this country is that people can build extra units on their garage and that somehow that's going to fix things, I just think that's, you know, frankly, sad. You know, we're not doing anything comprehensive here in the city to solve this major, major problem. And the idea that this is somehow a solution, I just don't think it is. And again, I don't know every way that it's going to work out, but we just got to do much, much better than this. I don't see this as creating truly affordable units. I don't see it as making a significant impact on the housing crisis that we have. And frankly, we all know Queens has illegal units in it already. And I'm sure many of us have seen some of these units where we've been in there and been like, wow, this doesn't seem particularly safe to me. And I'm no expert on that, but it's hard to imagine that, you know, entrepreneurial minds aren't going to push that envelope with a bill that's, you know, likely to be pretty hard to enforce as far as I can tell. So I just want to say that I'm sympathetic to a lot of the comments that were made here in these last few remarks, you know, at a level of what would be good policy. I just look at this and I just do not see it solving those problems. And I do think it's likely it's going to create at least some new ones. So those are my two cents. And then Karen and Joan.
Can I say something?
I definitely, I agree with you, Mike. And just to kind of piggyback off that, I feel like it's kind of a little bit, I'm going to use the word shady, because it's thrown into this bill that's way too long for anyone to have to want to read or being, you know, told to read, as, you know, Paul did. And I really appreciate you coming on and explaining it in such a simple way where it was easy to understand. But if the goal is, you know, that this this vote is to be called, and let's say we do, we all are in agreement, or, you know, the majority is in agreement, let's just say, how does a community board or a group of folks go about, you know, taking this out of the bill if by next week it's not taken out of the bill, we end up in a bad situation? Like, how does that actually work? I'm just wondering.
So sorry, what's the question, Karen?
So if the goal, like, let's just say we all agree, and, you know, after the vote is called and we all kind of are in agreement, let's just say the majority votes and they're in agreement, then how do we actually take this part of the bill out? You know, this, how do we strip this part from being put into that bill that it may pass? I mean, this gentleman said that if it's not taken out of the bill, then we have a problem, right? Or did I not understand
that? You want me to answer that, Mike?
Yeah, please, Paul, go ahead from a procedural perspective.
So yeah, this is a mechanism issue, right? So it's been inserted. It was inserted in the bill last week.
Okay.
It's not like it was inserted, you know, a year.
Right. Like, isn't this shady? Like, how is it just tucked in?
It's very, I don't want to say shady. Let's just say anti-democratic.
Okay, that's a
with a small D. But it's not that unusual in the state of New York. Okay, so anyway, the point is that there is a deadline for this to be stripped out. And again, Mike, as the lawyer, would know this, not about this, but there are these, you know, things that happen in government, and they have to be done on a certain timeline by law. So it was put in, it has to be stripped out by February 17th. If it's not stripped out, it will then be part of this up or down vote with the budget.
Right. So my question is, how do we, as a community board, let's say we're in favor of, like, yes, we all agree that we don't want this in there. Yes. Let's say, then so, how do we actually get it stripped from the bill by next week? Like, we do.
Let's say that you're voting on this tonight, and it's going to go out. And let's say, sorry, yes, everybody's against it, and it's going to go out, and you're voting on it, it's done. And there, as a governmental agency, CB 11 is going to write a letter, which is going to go to the governor and all of the elected officials and all these other people, saying, we totally oppose this. And that's your role in this, from a governmental perspective, as community board members. You can do it as an individual and contact other people. Believe me, I've been spending the last month of my life dealing with this 12 hours a day. So we have there's a lot of inertia, a lot of movement in our favor right now, but we're hoping that we can stop it. If not, as I said, and I mentioned this, and then I don't want to talk too much, it is there's a very good chance that this actually violates the state constitution.
Right.
This has never happened before, where there's been some kind of blanket creation of interfering with local zoning. I've never seen anything like it. And I've actually looked in the history books, and I haven't seen anything like it. So I think that there's a very good chance that this does actually violate the state constitution, but then we have to get into lawsuits and Article 78s and all kinds of other insanity. So we're really trying to put the pressure on the governor any way we can, politically, by messenger pigeon or carrier pigeon, and anybody else, to try to get this thing done before we get to that point.
Yeah, and essentially, Karen, we're going to be expressing our view to the electeds as a board. That's essentially
all right. Thanks.
Of course. Okay, Joan, you're next.
Okay, just a few things. When we went through the zoning, and I'm only going to talk about one specific area because I happen to pass it all the time. It's near the railroad, and when we rezoned that particular spot, because it was a mixed block, the single family houses were actually upzoned, and they said you could have more units. So as of now, I would say at least half of the units have been changed to two family houses. Now, that's the way that you do it when you're doing it properly, and you're admitting additional units and providing more housing for a growing population. You don't just run around and blanket say, well, this is a mandate, everybody hurry it up, sign up, you're now going to have additional units. It's ridiculous on the face of it and extremely dangerous in practice. We've been doing this for a long time. We know how to do it and do it well. The island specific areas have had problems, and they now are having units closer to the railroads, and they are providing for a more dense thing, which would be garden apartments, etc. We have to look at what's going on all over in zoning. A lot of the stores are closing down. A lot of office space has become available. These are the things that you redo, so to speak, and you can provide viable housing for people. You don't have to do that by mandating it. There are plenty of developers who are around who are going to do these things as soon as they get off the dime and figure out which areas they can handle, how, depending on how big they are and how much capital they have available to them. I think we should, you know, be mentioning things like that. This is totally, I don't know where it came from, because it's undemocratic. I've never heard of anything like this.
Hey, thank you very much, Joan. Appreciate that. Thank you. Rosemarie?
Chris?
Okay.
Can I just say something?
Hello. Mike?
One second, Chris. I'll get you. Sorry, Rosemary.
Okay. In addition to the inferior construction to make these makeshift apartments to take in money, what about the excessive stress on our schools and our transportation?
Oh. Oh, that's a point that's been raised. Obviously.
And water and sewer.
That's obviously a relevant consideration.
That's what I have.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Isn't it?
Flora?
I would bring everyone's attention to this point that's addressed in the proposed resolution.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, shout out to the resolution. Great minds think alike, Rosemary. Flora?
I just had a question. So, you know, we obviously, you know, have a very strong response, and you were saying that a letter will go out. And I was just wondering, because we don't really know who else, you know, how like the majority of boards and constituents are going to weigh in on this. And if it gets pushed through, then what recourse do we have? Do we then make suggestions for our area, or what would be the next step in the event that we vote no, and then what if it is pushed through?
So just to answer that from a procedural perspective, it's a good question, Floor. This is not an area where we have a formal role at this time in this particular process. Mm-hmm. So we're being proactive here to take a position and sort of acting in our capacity as whatever you want to refer to, voice of the people, trying to represent the community, to put a little influence out there. But it's not a situation where we have a formal role. So, and there may be cases where a case down the road where somehow this issue comes up again in a situation where we do. But right now, I think the way we would deal with that was, okay, once the situation shifted, if this got pushed through, we would look to engage with our elected officials to try and make the system, whatever that may be, work as well as we possibly could. But I think at this point, at least from the committee's perspective, and by the way, there was a vote taken on this to sort of, not on the exact language on the resolution at committee, but on the concept, and it was approved to bring this to the board. So I think the idea here is that right now the committee felt that we should oppose this, and that's what's before the board today. And if it gets passed, then it's possible someone will want, and certainly we're welcome to take it up as a board, as to what suggestions we may have to make it work as good as possible if it ends up becoming law.
Okay, thank you.
Of course. Chris?
Hi. Thank you. What I want, very briefly, I wanted to say that This would devastate one family areas, definitely. And then, Mike, all the things that you said summed it right up. And I agree with all that you said about it. It will not solve the housing problem in any way. It'll just put a burden on the one family zoned areas of the infrastructure, like Rosemary said, and so on and so on. So that's, I would vote against it.
Thank you, Chris. I have Paul D, and I'm not seeing anybody else right now. If you'd like to speak, please put your hand up now, because we're going to call the question shortly. Paul?
Thanks, Mike. It's one last comment. The comment that you made about that this doesn't really solve the housing problem, that's key. And thank you for bringing it up. But something that would affect every single property in New York State, okay, and that would every single family property in New York State, and something that would, and it's as a mandate, no less, and that would affect this ring, this half mile radius around about transit hubs. Why wouldn't you know about that? Why wouldn't everybody in this room know about that? Why wouldn't every New York citizen know about that? So why are we just finding out about it last minute? And why does someone have to come on here, Paul Graziano, and explain it to us? And he's not doing it for a living. He's just doing it because he's upset about it. How could you vote yes for something like this? I would like to fix the housing problem too, but this just doesn't do it. And it's this kind of mandate thing. This is not what we want government to do. We want to be part of the process. And even the community board had to find out about it late. And who else out there in our community knows about it? Nobody. Just about us.
Nobody.
So please, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Paul. So we're going to, Mohan?
Just one simple question. Did I understand that even if your small house and there's no space for the second addition to create another property, rental property?
Yes.
Well, you don't, just to be clear, when we say it's required, it doesn't mean that you have to take in a tenant. It means that the rules have to be that you're allowed to take in a tenant. So it's not as if
the requirement is that the municipality be required to allow for at least one unit on every single family zoning.
Thank you. Got it. Got
and
it.
They
Thank
change you. The setback rules. It's very important that you know that yes. They change the setback rules. 7 feet in the front, 5 feet in the back.
4 feet on each side.
And think about what that does. You could put a big thing. You can use, there'll be no grass. I don't even know if that would pass an environmental impact. Because you have to have a certain amount for the government to have for drainage on water. But it allows for a large use of your property.
That answer your question, Mohan?
Yes, thank you very much.
Of course. Okay, so we're going to call the question. Just to say it, it's going to be the resolution. It will be sent out to the elected officials. It's the resolution that was circulated. Joe put it up on the screen before. There's the two changes. Henry made the language change to address Joan's comment. And we're also going to ensure that the proper references to the bill are in there. And we'll proofread the references to the bill in general and the intro. Just double check that we have the right language number references in there. But that's the resolution. Is that correct, Henry?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Perfect. So, Joe, I'm going to call the question. Joe, if we can take a vote, please.
Okay. Avila?
Before we start, Michael, can you just repeat what a yes vote means and a no vote means?
Oh, sorry, Doug, of course. A yes vote means that we are going to pass the resolution. Good point, Doug. Could be confusing there. Mm-hmm. A yes vote means the resolution is passed. The resolution, which you guys would have seen, is not in favor of the bill. A no vote means the resolution does not pass. Which would be voting not to oppose the bill. Is that clear to everybody?
Yes.
All right, cool.
No.
No.
No?
No.
If you vote yes, I'll say it again. If you vote yes, this resolution will be passed and will be sent out. If you vote no, that's a vote against this resolution going out. Is that clear?
Okay.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Less is more, I should remind
you. And the resolution is against the bill.
It's 9 o'clock on a Monday.
I know. Okay, Joe, go ahead, take the vote.
Okay, Aviles?
Yes.
Bale?
I think I want, you know what I want to say, but I don't know what I know I want to vote.
a yes vote is a vote in.
Yes, 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 yes.
Bind. Lana. Bravo.
Yes.
Udabin.
Yes.
Burke.
Yes.
Cerezo. Sue. Sue Cerezo, you're on mute.
Okay. Yes, I vote yes.
Okay. Chu?
Abstain because of occupation.
Okay. Dadris?
Yes.
December? Lourdes? Lourdes? Di Benedetto?
Yes.
Donahue?
Yes.
Mueller?
Yes.
Perzoli?
Yes.
Filas?
Yes.
Fried?
Yes.
Gallatin?
Yes.
Garippa?
Yes.
Bolia?
Yes.
Jadis?
Yes.
Haber? Bernie, give me a thumbs up if it's a yes. Okay, I think that's a thumbs up. Hader?
And just let me be clear. If I vote yes, it's for this resolution?
Yes.
And if vote, I vote, it's against it.
A vote yes is a vote for the resolution in opposition of the initiative.
In opposition of the initiative, because I didn't hear all the beginning part.
Yes.
Okay. So I guess I would vote yes then.
Okay. Yes. James?
Yes.
Jethwani?
Yes.
Kelly?
No.
Lanzetta?
Yes.
Liotto?
Yes.
Martino?
Yes.
Mahaltzis?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Montgomery?
Yes.
Paulzer?
Yes.
Patel?
Abstain. I work for the Senate.
Okay. Pelbier?
No.
Popa?
Yes.
Rastogi?
Yes.
Shearer?
Yes.
Piram?
Yes.
Turner?
Yes.
And
no.
Okay, the ayes have it, folks.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Everybody.
Thank you, everyone, for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul G. Just going to move ahead to finish up the meeting here and close it down. Just very quickly, please be on the lookout for committee meeting notices. One more reminder that if you're an even year and up for application, please get your community board application in on time by the 16th. And just one more reminder, it is chair and vice chair elections at the meeting next month. So just be prepared for that. Just wanted to mention it. Okay, thanks very much. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
I heard Al second. Stefan, quick on the draw as usual. Okay, meeting is adjourned, folks. Everyone have a great week. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye, folks. Thank you.